that's on the screens show the coastal area of Sussex County, which is in the comprehensive plan's future land use map. That's what's shown in yellow. And then the entire rest of the county, which the majority of it is shown in white. The desire was to make what is in yellow the same as what is in white in terms of the requirements for a cluster subdivision. The original ordinance that was introduced, heard by this commission, did two things. It brought the coastal area, the yellow portion of the map, consistent with the white area. It also added a yield plan, if you'll recall, to that coastal area. And there was quite a lot of opposition to that. I think the commission stated quite clearly that there wasn't a lot of favor for that. And as a result, that ordinance frankly didn't go anywhere. And the commission actually didn't even act on it. As I recall, there wasn't even a recommendation, although there was a lot of discussion about it. As a result of that, county council, I would say, went back to the drawing board, sort of heard the music, and wanted it to be reintroduced without the yield plan, but keeping sort of what was the goal all along, I would say even the main goal, and that was making the treatment of cluster subdivisions consistent throughout Sussex County. One of the benefits of taking out the yield plan, of which I think a lot of people would say there are many, but one of them in terms of code writing was that it made this ordinance a whole lot shorter. The original one, as you'll recall, had the yield plan requirements stated in there, and then it restated all the superior design requirements that were previously referenced in section 115.25F of the Code of Sussex County. And we had to do that just for context. When you're dealing with yield plan, you had to roll through everything. If we take the yield plan out, it gets a lot simpler, and we just add three lines to section 194.3, and that's a new subparagraph 5 that says residential developments utilizing the cluster option of subsection C3 above, which is the coastal area's existing cluster option, within the AR1 and AR2 residential zoning districts shall comply with the design requirements set forth in 115-25F of the Sussex County Zoning Code. So it just incorporates that by reference without having to restate 300 lines of code text. And if you want to, Mr. Whitehouse, if you want to go to that side-by-side chart, if you could. So you kind of get a flavor if you want to actually sort of scroll down some, I think. Yeah, that one. You can see what's on the left are the requirements for a cluster subdivision in three quarters of Sussex County, basically, the white section of that future land use map. And on the right is what are the requirements for the coastal area. And currently, there's an environmental assessment and public facility evaluation report. In both cases, you can have a subdivision that gets to 7,500 square foot lots in the AR1. In every other part of Sussex County, we've got to comply with what's on the left. In the coastal area, you didn't have to comply with anything. And there's sort of the council's approach to that was sort of a common sense and a fairness thing. You know, why do we have two standards throughout Sussex County? And I know some of the members of council had stated that, you know, really it made more sense to have, or it makes as much sense to have those in the coastal area, which we've said in the plan is the most environmentally sensitive area of Sussex County anyway. So all this does, it doesn't create any new code language, code text. It just says that if you're in the coastal area, you've got to do what's on the left-hand side of that screen, which is what is already in section 115-25F of our zoning code for cluster subdivisions. I would say there was a question, two things that were, well, there's several things that were raised in the comments to the original ordinance and came in with some of the comments on this one. One of them was a question about, you know, it references open space, but open space is not defined. Actually, it's in 115.25F3A3. There's a requirement about the open space and how open space is designed. And that it, you know, it needs to be sort of all in one tract versus spread out in small parcels throughout the subdivision, that sort of thing. But I want to point out that open space, and you all may not realize this because it doesn't come up all that frequently in terms of your review, But that is a well-defined term in section 115-4. I'm not going to read you the definition, but it states what open space means. But more importantly, when it was drafted, it says it lists specific things that can go in open space, and it lists specific things, well, I don't want to say that can go in, that are counted towards open space, and specific things that you can have which can't be counted towards open space. For example, things that cannot be counted towards open space, it's land area within designated lot lines, building footprints, predominantly impervious surfaces such as streets, rights of way, sidewalks, parking or loading areas, and utility facilities, including but not limited to building plant equipment for treatment of pumping, lagoons, rapid infiltration basins for sewer and water, gas, and electric utilities. There is actually a long list of things that can be considered as open space. It's kind of things that you would think of. Ponds, recreational facilities, buffers, areas in conservation easement, areas providing scenic vistas, spray irrigation areas, tidal and non-tidal wetlands, stormwater management facilities, and that sort of thing. So I didn't want to get too far in the weeds to that, but I just did want to point out to you all and to anybody who has a concern about that, that open space is a very defined term currently in our code. There was also a question about why we only incorporated section 115.25F into the coastal area. Why didn't we do A through E of 25? And there's good reasons for that. A through E, for the most part, particularly A, B, C, and D, don't necessarily deal with cluster subdivisions at all. A deals with basic lot size requirements for AR1. C deals with, and B does as well, C deals with setbacks in AR1. That's basically a pass-through anyway in the coastal area. D deals with the maximum height, which is also a pass-through in the coastal area. There's no need to restate that again in this ordinance. 115.25E, that one talks about some design requirements for cluster subdivisions. I would say when you look at the code, that's somewhat misleading. Really, the design requirements are in F, because that's where we wanted to say this is what it makes to be or means to be a superior subdivision. When you look at what was in E, it talks about the cluster subdivisions in the white part of the county that are in the low density area. Well, that doesn't apply because the coastal area by its very nature is a developing area. So it's things like that that didn't translate over into the coastal area. So that's why, really from day one, we were looking to just make the superior design requirements consistent all throughout the county, and that's why we just referenced section 115.25F as being the applicable subsection that we want to apply everywhere in the county, and in this case particularly in the yellow section of the county in addition to what we have to do now in the white section of the county. So I know that was kind of technical and maybe boring, but that's really all it is. We think it's pretty straightforward. We took out the yield plan, and really there you have it.
Okay. All right. Anyone have any questions for council?
Explain to me again why E is not included.
Why E is not included?
Yeah.
So when you look at E, there was a couple things. They were not... first of all, they were not the superior design requirements that we were always looking to get in. From day one on this, we were always talking about what was an F as the superior design requirements for a subdivision, for a cluster subdivision. And I don't have my code open, but like I said, one of the subparts of E talks about cluster subdivisions in the low-density area. And again, this is not a low-density area. One of the things talks about lot separation or development separations and buffers. When you get into what's already in the code for 194.3, in the environmental assessment and in the environmental requirements for the coastal area, there already is guidance on how you deal with those buffer areas. There's talk in E about no lot shall contain any wetlands. And when you look at 25F3-4, that establishes a 25-foot setback from wetlands. So if you have a wetland setback by nature, you can't have lots within setbacks. So that sort of usurped the you know, the statement about no lots within it, or no wetlands within any lots. So it was those kind of things. When we looked at it, E just really didn't pull forward very well into the coastal area.
But, yeah, that makes sense to me. Because I was looking at it, I was just reading through it. It said a planting strip of at least 30 feet of landscape rolling berm, and I'm like, well, that's, but if it's only for low density areas, then developing is not low density.
Because when you think about it that way, E applies to all the county. So that's, you know, even the more undeveloped areas where that applies, which are low density areas, and this is a developing area. That's why it's a different standard.
Okay, any other questions for this?
So in the coastal area, does the formula allow density to go to 2.17?
Yeah, and off, Mr. Hopkins, off the top of my head, I don't know what the decimals are on that, but that's how it works, yeah.
And that's not changing?
No, that's not changing at all. Nope.
Thanks.
Because that section of the code is in 194.3, and we're not affecting that at all, yeah. Yep. Because when you look at it, like I said, we take 194.3, and just to be clear for the record, we add those three lines that say you got to comply with 115.25F. There are two other changes. One was, it was just a wording change in, well, I'll say this, it's line 117 of the ordinance. The code used the word an affirmation that the proposed application and proposed mitigation measures are in accordance are in conformance with the current Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. You know, we don't put anybody under oath. You know, there's not an affidavit that anybody has to file. So the term an affirmation really wasn't appropriate. So since we were doing this other change, we just said a description of how, you know, because that's how we see things. It's when the books come in or when the presentation's made. So a minor thing. And then in line 146, there was reference to overlay district, which related back to the original environmentally sensitive development district. Excuse me, environmentally sensitive developing overlay district. We just fixed that to say the coastal area. That was the one that was kind of left out of a prior edit. So we just brought it forward so it said the coastal area.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Yes, sir.
Just a quick update from me, Mr. Chairman. When I introduced the ordinance, I forgot to mention how many responses we've been received, and we have received 108 written responses. Those responses that were received today after the paperless packet was published on our website have been printed and circulated to members of the commission.
Okay.
108 in total, and we've not split those into support or opposition. Okay. So it's total.
All right.
Thank you.
I would say, and I'm not going to give the commission a number, but in looking through those today and anticipating questions that may arise, it does appear that a solid majority of those are in favor of this. So,
okay. Yeah. Well, we can take them under advisement. They're
sure.
Part of the record.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right then. Is there anyone here this evening who would like to speak in favor of Ordinance 21-01, the coastal area?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. Happy New Year to all of you.
Thank you.
Bring Lardner with Davis Bona Friedel here on behalf of the Delaware Chapter of American Council of Engineering Companies. And if you recall, our organization had opposed the ordinance that was previously introduced. And we're here tonight to say that we are in favor of the introduced that is before you this evening, as it does fix what was intended to be fixed when it was first introduced to allow the AR subdivisions to be the same and both the coastal area and outside the coastal areas. With that said, there was also some interesting debate about the superior design standards. Within that, those design standards still exist in the code today. And what we suggest or recommend is perhaps a working group get made to readdress those issues in a separate ordinance, as well as perhaps look at the clustering in the coastal area only of MR, GR, NHR lands to perhaps allow smaller lots, which there, the 30% over space that was brought up, and the coastal area, because that is where the environmental sensitive areas are. But we think the ordinance today should go through as written, as it does fix the AR, then perhaps look at a future working group to address some of the other issues that were brought up by our group, the commission, and some others that may be speaking later on. And here to answer any questions if you have any for me.
For the record, would you state your professional qualifications?
I'm a professional engineer.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else, any questions?
Do you want to be on that committee?
I volunteer to be on that committee, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Noted.
I'm going to state for the record, Mr. Chairman, that Mr. Lardner and others, and he's just the one that just spoke, actually had some good, I don't want to say substantive comments, they certainly were, but practical comments on ways to better draft this, which were very helpful. You'll notice with those, the three items, or the three lines that we add to it, one of the things we did was confirm that it applies only to residential developments and only to AR1 and AR2. I understand what Mr. Lardner is saying about the other zoning districts, but because of some dimensional requirements and other things, as it's written now in 115.25F and what we're trying to do here, it only works in AR1. There'd have to be changes to other things to make it work for other zoning districts. So I do appreciate the input of him and others that we heard from the first go around, because that was helpful.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor? Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to ordinance 21-01? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Hey, everyone. My name is Jim Erickson. I'm a professionally licensed civil engineer in the state of Delaware, as well as a resident of Sussex County.
Okay.
I wouldn't say I'm necessarily here in opposition to this. I'm kind of in the middle, honestly.
Okay.
But
fair statement.
What I wanted to bring up are some issues that I see with the superior design requirements in general. This links back to that, so I want to take the opportunity to discuss a few of them here.
We'll entertain some of that, but I want to caution you that this public hearing relates to this specific ordinance. This is not going to be a forum to discuss kind of county ordinances in general. So if you can relate your comments to what we have here, we'll be happy to listen to you.
Okay. Well, I guess just generally, when we design these things, it's difficult to be put in a box. These things being subdivisions.
Sure.
We like to be creative. We like to use the land that we have as well as the natural features that are available. When open space requirements that are there that force us to put certain amounts of open space in certain areas, it can create problems to provide things and amenities the way we like to provide them. For instance, the superior design requirements do encourage grouping of lots, tight grouping. It encourages back-to-back lots, which we find are things that in the end people are less happy with. They end up with swales on their properties that are difficult to maintain, as well as easements that eat up part of their land. What we like to do is put ponds or other features, some open space in between, spread things out a little bit in between the lots, give people usable space next to their lots, as well as be able to put amenities and ponds wherever we kind of think it fits with this particular project. And just the other thing I wanted to bring up, and I'm kind of rushing through here because I do not want you to punch your time, as you said. The other thing I do want to bring up is how affordable housing is impacted with superior design. It makes it much more difficult. And that's all I'm going to bring up at this point on that, because in the coastal area, affordable housing is few and far between, as you can imagine. But, I did just want to bring these up, and as Ring brought up, I think a committee would be very helpful to sit down, go over everything, and figure out something that's usable for everyone everywhere in the county.
So. Okay. And are you volunteering to serve on such a committee?
Absolutely would.
Okay. Duly noted. Wow.
Thank you.
Lining up. We're going to have a lottery for this committee. Okay. Thank you, sir. Does anyone else like to speak in opposition or on the fence, or anyone in the room? Okay. Operator, is there anyone on the line who would like to speak in favor or opposition to ordinance 21-01, the coastal area?
If there's anyone on the line who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. Okay, we have a Carol Conroy.
Okay. Hello?
Yes, good evening. It's Carol Conroy. I live in the Breakwater community that is near Cape Lovin High School. And I'm really calling to express my support for the statement that has been submitted by SARG in writing, I assume, and hopefully tonight. And I would also be, I would like to have the email that I sent to Commissioner Stevenson as part of the record. And thank you.
Okay, we thank you. We I'm certain we can accommodate you, and the email and letter from SARG is part of the record, and your support of that has been noted.
All right, thank you.
Yes, ma'am, thank you. Operator, anyone else?
That's up next.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Vera Seibert. I live in Lewis. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm in favor of ordinance 21-01 and as a homeowner in Coastal Zone. And I also support the amendment proposed by SARG to simplify the ordinance, making it easier for the public and developers to understand it and implement it. Otherwise, you have to flip back and forth between several sets of regulations, and it's complicated. So, well, I'm glad to hear that, that it sounds favorable for this ordinance, because we need to have the same standards of development in the coastal zone as well as in the rest of the county. You really need to have equity. And the superior design, those elements of those standards are needed most in the coastal zone, which contains more environmentally sensitive land. And wisely planned open space will enhance everyone's property value. So I'm really, in particular, the 50-foot setback tidal wetland and streams, I think is very important for us to have in the coastal zone. So thank you very much for the opportunity to speak.
We thank you, ma'am. Okay, operator, anyone else?
If there's anyone else on the line who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to this application,
Hello, can you hear me? Yes, ma'am.
Okay, this ordinance needs to apply to the coastal area as well as the rest of the county. In fact, it needs to apply to the coastal area more than the rest of the county. We desperately need more trees, buffers, and open space to combat the runoff, which leads to flooding. There is a reason why this area was called, until recently, the environmentally sensitive development district. Delaware has the lowest average elevation in the nation, and sea level rise rates that measure at more than twice the global average. With the pandemic, people are only too anxious to escape the cities and build homes down here, which will only exacerbate the problem. Building will happen, and we expect that, but it must be done in a smart way to minimize the impact on the environment and protect our property values. We need open space now more than ever. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, operator, anyone else?
Anyone opposition to this application, please apply for. Again, if there's anyone else on the line who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. All right, good. Will you be on the line?
Okay.
Call it, please state your name and you have the floor.
Hi, my name is Julie from Lewis, Delaware. I'd like to make a short comment tonight. I think coastal subdivision will be built up sooner or later, and we'll be either very proud of how we built up the area, or we'll be full of regrets for not having done it right. So I hope we'll be on the proud side. I hope one day Sussex County may be selected as the best livable coastal county in America. So I hope we can make the right choice today for the future of the Sussex and make the superior design mandated throughout the county, including coastal area. And that's it for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, operator, if there's anyone else.
Okay, we have Chris Mason. Caller, please state your name, and you have
the floor. Okay. Thanks. This is Chris Mason. I'm the executive director with the Center for the Inland Days. I'm a biologist with Point 3 years of experience managing coastal ecosystems. And the center is a private nonprofit. Our mission is to protect and restore the inland days. And we do this by implementing a comprehensive conservation management plan for the days. Environmental extensive development in the coastal area has been an important tactic of this plan since it was first adopted with Sussex County as signatories back in 1995. And we've made a tremendous amount of progress with support from the county on the plan. And it's resulted in improved water quality. And this has really helped maintain the value of the bays for its ecological and economic value. But the water quality in the bays remains poor and fair in most places. The preservation of natural lands near the bays continues to be an area of the management plan that needs attention. The coastal area contains a lot of sensitive lands that help absorb floodwater, provides extensive habitat for native flora and fauna, and it has a significant impact on water quality. But we are experiencing a loss of these natural sensitive land in the coastal area. The most recent land use data derived from aerial photography shows that over the period of 2012-2017, over 1,000 acres of upland forest and 494 acres of freshwater wetland were lost in inland days watershed. And if you extrapolate this out from 2017 to today, that's roughly another 700 acres of forest and nearly 300 acres of wetland that likely would have been lost at that rate. And this is a trend that's been going on for decades, really. And the loss of these habitats is accompanied by fragmentation of the habitat, and that's when large blocks get broken up into smaller pieces, which reduces the habitat value for natural land to many of our native species, but particularly migratory songbirds and amphibians. And fragmentation it multiplies the edge habitat, which allows invasive species to get in, and that can take away from the habitat value. So it's got a wonderful opportunity in cluster subdivision ordinance to prevent some and protect a lot of these open spaces. We can't just rely on a few big publicly owned protected areas in Sussex to protect these environmental services. We have to encourage the protection of the diversity of healthy open spaces in our community, and that's what this ordinance would do. So this ordinance meets the goals of protecting in restoring water quality and fish and wildlife habitat in the land base, to protect the native plants and animals over watershed, mitigate flooding, and very clearly will enhance property value through the provision of high quality open space. I want to wrap up, but I do want to emphasize something I feel strongly about. It might not be thought of so much for this ordinance, but I think that the flood mitigation are going to be significant here. When you look at just the amount of impervious surface going in the coastal area, it's making a greater flood risk to an already low-lying area that's vulnerable to flooding. I think our state stormwater regulations are designed to control stormwater from a single site, but they don't do a great job considering the impacts of impervious surface across sites. And this ordinance would protect green infrastructure that would help it. So this ordinance is certainly consistent with the management plan for the inland bays, and we encourage you to support it. And thank you very much for your time and the opportunity to have input on that.
Okay, we thank you. Operator, anyone else?
If there's anyone else on the line who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. All right, we have a Gail Van Gilbert on the line.
Okay.
Call out, please state your name and you have the floor.
Amendment. Hello.
Hello.
My name is Gail Van Gilder, and I live in the coastal zone. I'm here to support this ordinance because I think it's very important that we do everything possible to reduce the flood risk, as Chris Basin said, which is a serious risk that we all face. And I did send you a letter already, so I'm not going to read that, but I did want to point out to you as an example of what can happen, is happening in a state that's sort of south here over the Chesapeake Bay Bridge in Virginia, at the naval base, where people there cannot even get to work. They have to go to work when at low tide, and they can't go at high tide, and they have to check their the tide charts to see when they can come and go. And we don't want to end up like that. And we have an opportunity now to do some things and take some actions that will reduce that risk. And there is a movie that was done on that topic, and it was actually played at the Rehoboth Film Festival, I think about a year and a half to 2 years ago. I mean, there was standing room only. And I suggest that anybody who thinks that this is not a problem, you can go actually online and get that movie and watch it. I really also wanted to say that I appreciate that the Planning and Zoning Commission brought this ordinance back as quickly as he did and did not delay it, and understood the importance of moving it forward to as quickly as possible. So again, we have the highest risk here in the coastal zone in Sussex County, and with the least protection, and where the sea level is rising the fastest in the country. So if we don't do something and take some of these actions, we all face the risk that our property values will be decrease for the long term. And if you just ride around now, we've had a good bit of rain lately, and you look at homes on building lots, in so many places you can see standing water. And I think that's just the beginning of it, and putting these regulations in place for both the coastal zone, as it's already in place for the rest of the county, would go a long way towards helping with that. So, and again, I just wanted to say, this is not about density, because now that you took the yield plan out, I mean, I think that no one is losing any density, but what we're gaining is quality, quality development. And remember that quality sells, and I think the builders know that quality sells when they sell their building lots. And we want to have a good, strong reputation for the future of our county so that people will want to continue to move here. And I think that for this reason, I ask you please support this and move it forward to council. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak.
Okay, we thank you. Operator, is there anyone else who would like to speak?
Okay, we have a Rick Barato on.
Okay.
Rick Barato, the Second Alliance for Responsible Growth Start. Mr. Chairman, the commission, and the planning and zoning staff, thanks for the opportunity. I have sent in a, Sark has sent in a document earlier today. Thank you for confirming you did receive it. We are in full support of the ordinance to amend Chapter 115, Article 25, Section 115, 1943. We do have, and feel very strongly about one very minor modification that will have significant benefits going forward. And that modification is because we believe strongly that it is crucial there be no question, misinterpretation, or misunderstanding as to what is required of developers under the ordinance. To assure that, is Chief Sarge calls on the County Planning and Zoning Commission to recommend approving the proposed ordinance with the following amendments. If you refer to lines 163 to 165, simply remove the word design in the letter F, which will assure there is no confusion as to what will be required to bring the coastal zone in full conformity across the entire county. We feel very strongly about that, and hopefully we'll have an opportunity to provide examples of where there would not be conformity going forward as the amendments proceed through the greater the public hearing, specifically the council public hearing. Two words to be changed, and there is no question, no misinterpretation of how it is. It is in full conformity throughout the county. I'm not going to read any more of our submission. I'll spare you of that if you have it to the record. But once again, great job by the commission and planning and zoning in bringing this amendment of this ordinance to where it is, and we look forward to the implementation in the future. Thank you.
We thank you. Operator, anyone else?
If there's anyone else on the line who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. Again, if there's anyone else on the line who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star.
All right, we thank you. Commissioners, any further questions? Okay. staff?
None for me, thank you.
None for me, thanks. Any further comments, questions? All right, then. We'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. And that completes our public hearing. So referring back to our first public hearing, which was a subdivision 2021-01 Doe Run.
Mr. Chairman, in regard to 2021, hold on a second. Was there any more discussion on that?
I was going to say, I'll just state, if you all are in favor of it, it's simple enough. I've got a motion, Mr. Hopkins, if you want to move it forward for your consideration, if you're inclined to act on it.
Yeah, you'd like, would so you like you're saying you'd like to just read it?
Yeah, I'll just read it, because I guarantee there's no way you can read my chicken scratch. So.
I'm sure of it.
You've seen it. Are you okay reading it, Mr.
Hopkins? Oh, that'd be great.
Okay. It's Mr. Chairman, Mr. Hopkins moves that we grant preliminary and final site plan approval of to subdivision 2021-01 Doe Run to add 4.192 acres to the subdivision in general and to lot 15 of that subdivision in particular. As a result of this application, lot 15 of the Doe Run subdivision will now be 6.684 acres in size. This approval does not increase the density of the Doe Run subdivision, and it will not adversely impact the existing lots within the Doe Run subdivision, other neighboring properties, other roadways, or public facilities. Period.
Sound good, everybody else?
I second the motion.
So moved.
Yeah. All right, it's been moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2021-01 Doe Run for the reasons and with conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Okay. Our next public hearing was ordinance 20-06 future land use map.
Mr. Chair, with regards to ordinance 20-06 future land use map, I make a motion to defer for further consideration. Second.
The move and seconded to defer action on ordinance 20-06 future land use map. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next public hearing was change of zone number 1910 Brickyard Apartments LLC.
Mr. Chair, with regards to change of zone number 1910 Brickyard Apartments LLC, I make a motion to defer for further consideration. Second.
Move seconded to defer action on change of zone number 1910 Brickyard Apartments LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next public hearing was conditional use number 2212 Brickyard Apartments LLC.
Mr. Chair, with regards to conditional use number 2212 Brickyard Apartments LLC, I make a motion to defer. Second.
Been moved and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 2212 Brickyard Apartments LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next public hearing was ordinance 21-01 the coastal area.
Reference this one, I'm good with it. I do like the idea of having a committee come back and work on superior design. I think that's something that can so.
I would ask that in view of the fact that we received such a large number of pieces of correspondence late today, that we might defer action to give the committee or give the commission time to review them, and since they are part of the record and they can be part of your decision making process, there might be something in there that would spark some discussion or something. So.
Did we get any others after four that we would have to consider, or no?
Anything received will become part of the record, okay. But anything received at 4 p.m. today has been copied and circulated.
Yeah, we have everything at 4 o'clock.
Okay. And I would just, Ms. Stevenson, you know, because there was talk about the, you know, forming a committee. There was also somebody, and I forget who, somebody mentioned, you know, the concerns about flipping back and forth between the code. There was thought given to that. That's why we just added those three lines referencing 25F. So if at some point we do decide to improve or change the superior design requirements, we only have to do it one time in the code and it'll cover both places. So if you know, I would suggest if you're going to do that, or if there is going to be a commission to look at that, or a committee to look at that, that, you know, we don't need to hold this up based on that, because it would, you know, at that point it would be a later initiative to address the whole thing.
What needs to be addressed on the superior design?
I mean, I would like to see what they, what other things we can come up with.
It's already in place in the AR1, or the AR district.
Well, I mean, what Mr. Chris Bisson said was, one of the things, is there a way that we could make it better so that we have what Dennis Forney called a green ribbon of property that goes through so that, you know, properties are next to each other, that spaces line up so that there's more for birds and animals to, wildlife to get through? And are there other areas that we need to be looking at that, you know, we could do, give a little more flexibility and have a better product?
Flexibility to what? To 30% open space?
Possibly.
And what flexibility would we be looking for?
That's what I'd like to hear from the developers. Well, I can tell you what I want. What I would like to see is, yes, I would like to see that open space is usable open space, not little ribbons of property here and there and everywhere else that don't really add up.
The 30% code takes care of that. It's clustered together, 30%.
It does state, it says, in the required open space shall comply with the following criteria, and one of those, item B, is the required open space must be designed to be beneficial to the residents or users of the open space. It shall not be constituted of fragmented lands with little open space value. Accordingly, 30% of all required open space shall be located on one contiguous tract of land, except that it may be separated by water bodies and a maximum of one street. It also talks about, Ms. Stevenson, to your point, because this is something that was talked about, what it means to be superior back whenever it was in 2008 when we revised it. It says, if one of the following physical conditions exists adjacent to the proposed cluster development tract, at least 30% of all required open space must be adjacent to, and then it lists an official public park, existing wetlands, existing farmland, and, you know, dedicated properties owned by a municipality. So, you know, it does talk about that and what the superior design requirements are, that, you know, they're supposed to make it in larger tracts so that it's not slivers throughout a development, and that it's oriented, at least 30% of it, oriented to other open space. You know, because that was one of the things that we were trying to address as we were seeing developments where there were, you know, slivers throughout the development that weren't really useful to the residents of that development, or creating sort of, I guess, the appearance of open space, if you want to call it that, you know, in Sussex County. And so that's what this was designed to address. So
I think Mr. Mears brings up, though, a really good point, and that is, where should the starting place be for any type of discussion? And it really should start right here. Before we jump to a working group, we probably need to talk about what it is we're trying to fix, you know, and what we think the you know, the benefits might be, and what's missing, and get some consensus among the group. The working group's a great idea. Some of the best ordinance work we've had since I've been sitting up here has come from working groups when that work product was allowed to advance. Okay, so it is a good, it's a good way to do things. But I think this is where you're, and jump in anytime, but I think where you're coming from is you want to understand what it is we're fixing.
Well, yeah, because
and,
I think I understand.
And that starts with us having a bit of a refresher ourselves on what exactly is in the ordinance as it exists today, Vince has given us a little flavor of here in the 3-minute sketch. We probably need to devote, you know, maybe a half hour or something at some future meeting where we can simply put it on the agenda as a discussion item, and then move from there, have a plan moving forward to get all the stakeholders involved. Good things happen when all the stakeholders are involved, and I mean all of them. All you know, both sides are people with, I know, that have diverse interests in the same issues, but getting them all in the room together has been a benefit.
Well, the whole reason I asked that question was the only comment I've heard that is an open loophole is the engineers say it'll be a challenge. which they'll meet that challenge.
That's why they get the big bucks, right?
Right. If you remember, our last hearing of the year was Woodlands Till.
Right.
Okay. That was a superior design. You know, ooh, I like the sidewalks. Look at that open space. You know, this is the comments the commissioners are making. We had citizens from Woodlands 1. Oh, please, no interconnectivity. We don't have sidewalks. Well, guess what? You put this ordinance in the coastal zone, that problem goes away.
So, now on it will, yeah.
Huh?
From now on, yeah.
From now on it will. And the people of Sussex County want this ordinance. We've all heard from them. I've gotten the emails, the phone calls, social media contact. I don't know.
Well, I don't think there's any. I don't think there's any opposition to the ordinance here at all. I think where we are, we need to, or I would suggest to you that we need to advance it as it is, and then drop back from and take a look at what it actually says with the things that we think we need to be addressed, and then if there is enough of that, then we can move forward with a plan to address that where we can get everyone's input.
Well, we need parity throughout the county with this ordinance, and as the people called in and support said, we need this in the coastal zone more than anywhere, and we need it sooner than later.
All right. Anyone else?
There's developments being designed right now that don't have to conform to this ordinance. Enough of my two cents.
Well, I appreciate that. I would ask Mr. Whitehouse if you would put this back on the agenda at the first convenient time, which is not next week probably, but the following week perhaps.
The 21st.
For the 21st. And between now and the 21st, I could kindly ask you commissioners to go through the responses we received. And then if we have any further discussion, we can have it when we vote on it.
Just one point, and this is sort of a follow-up to my response to Mr. Hopkins too. Because we've talked a lot about open space. This doesn't add any additional open space area requirements. And because we're actually pulling something that's in the existing code, I just wanted to point that out. Because you can see, we get cluster subdivisions in the AR1 if they're on central sewer and they go to 7,500 square foot lots. All the time we're getting them at 2 units an acre. So it shows that with the existing code that we're bringing into the coastal area, you're not losing the density that you can achieve in the coastal area by the open space. And really, when you come down to it, it's sort of the math of it. If you go to, if you're capped out, taking out the decimal points, at 2 units an acre, at 7,500 square feet, a lot, that's 15,000 square feet that you can do every acre. And if an acre is 43,560 square feet, that leaves you with almost 29,000 square feet per acre to play with in your design, So it's not that we're cutting into any density that you can achieve at all through this ordinance. As I said, the proof of that is because we're seeing cluster subdivision ordinances come through all the time in that white section of the county, and they're getting their density.
Wasn't the cluster ordinance first introduced in 2008?
It was 2002, and then the superior design stuff was modified in 2008.
Exactly.
It's been around.
Yeah. No, that's right. So it's been since roughly then that everybody's been complying with it. And, on central sewer, when we're talking about 7,500 square foot lots,
right,
but in that entire white section of the county.
And then we put it into play in the AR in 2019, correct? As a permanent ordinance, not an option.
Yeah, I know that we cleared up that. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And actually, a lot of what is now the coastal area, because you recall Mr. Wheatley and the members that were on the commission when we went through the comp plan, we expanded the coastal area. So there's a lot of developments that were previously approved that were outside of the coastal area, and they would have had to comply with all this, that are now within the coastal area because of the map being enlarged.
Yep. And this will provide parity throughout the county.
That's true. It makes it uniform everywhere.
Same everywhere. Okay. So we'll entertain a motion anytime anyone's ready.
I think, did you ask for a motion to defer on this?
I was suggesting that might be what we want to do, but I'm waiting to hear.
I'll make a motion to defer so we have time to go through all the paperwork for the consideration.
Second.
Okay, thank you. It's moved seconded to defer action on ordinance number 21-01, the coastal area, to give the commission time to consider all the evidence presented on the record. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that completes our agenda for the evening. Does anyone have anything? Mr. Whitehouse, any updates, anything we need to know coming up?
Nothing for me other than to note that our next meeting will have a change of venue, which will be announced in the agenda, which will be published 7 days in advance.
For the 21st?
No. Go ahead.
Correct. The next meeting is the 21st of January.
And that'll be it, okay?
Correct. It'll be announced. The exact details will be in the agenda.
Do we know where that is in Deltek? Do we have, I guess it'll be on the agenda, the room number and everything.
It's in the notes that have gone out, and we may be able to include a map to help people locate it.
Okay.
Okay. Anyone else have anything for good of the order? If not, we stand adjourned. Peace and harmony prevailing.
Thank you.